Time for Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music. Good God!
Now, James Milne's musical project is probably one you know very well. He's released 4 solo records as Lawrence Arabia, collaborated with Lord Echo in Fabulous Arabia. He's also one of many in the project Barb. Be remiss not to mention that he's won a number of New Zealand Music Awards, as well as the Silver Scroll and the Tate Prize. And he has a new project on the boil. He joins us in the studio to tell us more and to perform a few songs. Good evening, James.
Hey, Zach.
How you going?
I'm good. Yeah, I chose to stand up and I should have chosen to sit down.
Oh, hey, Ben. Oh, look at that.
Okay, maybe I should.
Well, you already got a chair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I didn't want to screw up your camera angles.
Ben okay, likes Ben.
We can make this work, can't
we? Yeah, let me set the scene. Ben and Adam are here filming as per, and thank you very much.
Is that going to work? That's going to work.
Yeah. Ben likes to film sitting down.
Yeah.
Let's all. I like to do most things sitting down.
There you go. shall we maybe point that slightly to the.
Yeah, there we go.
Bit of a new config. Yeah, James, hello.
Hey. Yeah. We sort of take 2 of the intro there.
Yeah, totally. Maybe before we jump into a few tracks, speaking of NZ On Screen, I also came across your talk about the Good Times video on there as well.
Was that in the same bracket?
They were all just kind of... They were all, actually, they have like a more, like, watch more feature down the bottom. And I was watching this old series where they'd have people kind of unpack their vibe and their, how they make songs. And there was one with Fat Freddy's Drop. And then there was one with SJD. And then you were like the watch next.
Right.
But that was, and then Liam was after you. But maybe if we'll talk about that one more in a moment. Maybe I'm rambling now. Shall we?
Yeah.
Shall we?
This is not sort of your sort of power pack breakfast radio type approach.
Those days are long gone, mate. Those days are long gone. I used to drink quad shots, coffees when I was doing breakfast radio.
And, what are you on now?
I might have a drip filter when I turn up to work at 9 o'clock. If I can be bothered making it, maybe your water. Would be.
Should I do a song?
Yeah. Bloody hell. Stop me, James. what would you like to play for us?
I'm quite tired. This Kickstarter thing's been exhausting. It's exhausting social media work.
Yes.
And I went up to Snell's Beach today to write songs. That was the aim anyway, but it was actually just a really exhausting trip and I didn't write any songs because my head's too in the space of trying to promote a Kickstarter.
Yes, yeah. And there's a bit of pressure put on by yourself. You've got to write a song, it's Snell's Beach.
So it didn't work. So I don't have any new songs.
That's all right. That's all right.
So I thought, but the upshot is I'm exhausted. So I thought I'll just play some very mellow songs of mine that don't tire me out.
Perfect.
Mountaintop. I'm putting the finishing touches on you. Putting the ultimate rocks on you. You're a masterpiece. Cabinet. I'm putting the finishing touches on you. Sticking in the little bits of glue. You're a masterpiece. Cabinets and mountaintops. So easy for a
It was lovely. Cool. Let's do one more, and then we'll have a discussion where I'm able to form sentences.
Mm. Have you got some notes?
Yes, many.
Okay, right.
Many.
Okay. So the last one I did was called Cabinets and Mountaintops, which is a Reduction Agent song, and this one is a song of absolute truth called The Old Dance Floor.
Things were amiss with you all night. You wanted a kiss, she wanted a fight. Closing at 5, she's been changing her dressing, a fashion obsession.
Lawrence Arabia live in the 95 BFM studio at the Old Dance Floor, taken from your latest record.
Yeah.
And the one before that from Reduction Agents. There's a bit of a time difference in between those two tracks, isn't there?
Yeah, 10 years.
How do you think you've evolved as a songwriter over time?
I've definitely become more self-aware and self-critical as the years have gone by. You kind of can't be surprised by the decisions you make anymore, and consequently, it's harder. I've got more skills in there, but equally, the more you know, the more you know is bad, and the more you're shooting your own ideas down, or the more I'm shooting my own ideas down in the middle of the process. So, yeah.
What are some of the go-tos that you find yourself doing where you kind of go, not again, like, you know.
There's just like, I don't know, it's just like there's kind of pop harmonic structure stuff that I use all the time when, all you know, that just come, you know, if I'm sitting at a piano or whatever, it just comes out. And because I'm always trying to find this magical resolution that makes something feel special, a lot of those kind of generic things that I go to don't capture that feeling. And so and then maybe when I first did them, they did have that feeling, but it's harder to find that magic. So it's definitely. It's not harder, but it's harder to find the joy in the expression of the moment.
You mentioned the beach before. How important is location to the writing process?
I think it's pretty important. Definitely. I think one thing I learned from going to the beach today is I don't really write that well in the country. And I get a lot more ideas when I'm just walking on K Road or something. I think I just respond to people. So, I mean, I think that's the most important part. And then there's a certain amount of personal folklore and history that kind of enters songs. And I think, you know, like, I mean, a lot of my songs are about Christchurch, and probably increasingly they're about Auckland as well. But it's just, you know, that personal history, it can kind of inform moments and songs or images. So yeah, I mean, I think it's not necessarily a time and a place, it's not necessarily the moment, the location of where you're writing the song, as much as the location that you're writing about. But I don't have any good stuff to write about Snell's Beach.
Yeah. When were you last back in Christchurch?
I was down for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So was I.
Right.
Yeah. I did a great trip around the hills. You know, when you're driving and you're so high that you're in the clouds, can't see anything, it's like you're driving through dense fog, and then you get out of them and it's perfectly sunny.
Yeah.
No, it's lovely down there. How you also mentioned songs about Auckland and K Road. The old dance floor is about Whammy Bar, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a Whammy Bar-ish song. Yeah. I mean, that was the image that I was had in my head when I was writing the song.
The sticky floor.
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, a kind of fraught night with, you know, in a relationship, not necessarily mine, but someone's relationship at 4 a.m. when both of you aren't able to communicate properly anymore.
Yep. Yeah. You're speaking many people's language right there. In your eyes, what makes a good lyric?
I think something that has a specificity to it, like something that doesn't just evoke a cliche. I find the easiest way to defeat a cliche is either to just change a word or try and inject an unlikely metaphor or something really specific that just takes away from that general, I don't know, cold plainness that, you know, it's probably the stuff that big songs have is the sort of cliche generalness, and people are just like, yeah, that's so true, even though it's the most dull and totally obvious thing you could possibly say. But for me, that's just the worst thing. So I mean, I just like stuff that has a little gritty specificness to it.
And what of, I was thinking, you know, lots of your songs are guitar-based. What's your relationship like with guitars? Is that the instrument that you go, to straight off the bat when writing a song?
No, not necessarily. It always changes. I find like you kind of have a limited time with a guitar where you find new chords in it or an instrument, and then you just... It starts, I don't know, why I find I have to move on to another instrument, to just, and then each instrument might have 10 songs or a song. So I try and change it around all the time, and I don't necessarily write on guitar. I used to write a lot more on guitar, but it's sort of the same thing as the process of, you know, me being more self-critical, is that my time with an instrument goes by, I find that I'm no longer enjoy playing it so much or writing songs, and I was just like, this is dried up for songs for me.
Are you ever too hard on yourself?
Yes, I'm incredibly hard on myself sometimes. It's exhausting, but you know, I mean, you might have caught me at I think it's just the mood in this room.
It's quite cool. I had the aircon on today, which is very...
I'm actually feeling very positive at the moment. And good. I'm certainly not... I think it's just your uncaffeinated interviewing style that's me. but sometimes if I'm feeling low, I'm very, absurdly self-critical and hard on myself.
Mm.
But I'm, because of this whole pretty manic process I'm going through at the moment with this Kickstarter, I'm like having to, even any moment of self-doubt, I'm having to just quash aggressively.
Well, let's talk about this Kickstarter. It's doing very well.
Thanks, yeah. And I mean, thanks to the people who donated money to it so far.
Yeah, so there's the Lawrence Arabia 2018 Singles Club. Throughout 2018, Lawrence Arabia, James, is going to record and release a series of monthly singles working with dream collaborators. You're asking for 15K. You've made it to the 13. 190 backers. 20 days to go if you'd like to back him. Head to kickstarter.com/projects/Lawrence Arabia, where you pledge some money and you get the track, plus some, potentially, if you give a bit more, a nice piece of merch, maybe a intimate performance.
Yeah, I mean, you can, there's a bunch of stuff, but I mean, the basic thing is that you're basically pre-purchasing my next album, except my next album is going to be recorded through the year, and then as soon as I finish each song, I'm just going to send it to you.
And you've had a, as you mentioned in the blurb, you've had a pretty traditional way of releasing things over the course of your career. This was, you did this to spice it up?
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting, I don't want to get into a, another, what might be perceived as a negative thing, but I was just, I'll try and spin it in a positive way. But
I was just more wondering.
No, but I mean, I was about to say something that was going to say, I was going to sound terribly negative, but basically I was going to say, you know, I've released all these albums and you put so much effort into the recording and it takes years and, you know, you've got this limited time and then it's just like everything is banks on 2 weeks of, you know, intense interviewing and everything, and then it's probably doesn't quite live up to your expectations, because how can it, because you've been working on it for so long, and you know, and no one else involved in it really has, you know, this, you know, of course everyone involved in it is passionate and but no one has the intensity that I do for my thing, and of course I'm like, why aren't you working 24 hours a day on my thing? But of course no one's going to do that because they're not idiots. And so it's just, and it's hard, you know, it's harder. There's a lot more music out there, and it's just, I just started thinking, it's just like the way that these albums are coming out is stressful.
Yes.
And it's, there's so much pressure on that moment of release.
Yeah. You've got your 2 week window.
Yeah.
There's
a tiny window, and, if you're lucky and it picks up more, then you'll get this kind of onflow. But for most releases, it has this very brief window. I get some, you know, my albums get a good review or something, you know, like, and it gets good press and everyone's like, this is exciting. And then it sort of disappears into a cloud of dust.
This way, though, you're omnipresent.
Yeah, all the time. And it's just like, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's obviously not a new thing to do a Kickstarter and communicate with your fans directly. But I mean, that's the thing that, the parts of the process that I like, writing songs, recording them. I enjoy talking to people who like my music because that's, you know, gratifying for an insecure person like myself. And they're nice people. So, I mean, I enjoy all that stuff. It's just all of the kind of waiting and also dwelling on, you know, promoting yourself and hoping that people, you know, validate you. And it's, you know, it's a weird... And it's a weird job being a musician. So I'm just trying to like accentuate the parts of it that I really enjoy, and hopefully it works out, you know.
Well, how is it working out? You mentioned that there's a bit of admin going on in the background. How's it different from the more traditional aspect? Does it take up a lot more of your time?
I think it probably does, but it's a lot more satisfying.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's super nice just seeing the scope of people's generosity, and communicating with these cool, weird people who like want to spend money on my stuff.
Yeah. There's a paragraph in your write-up. You say, I just need to emphasize The need for peace, love and understanding on this. I'm an independent artist without management or a street team. It's just me on the other end of the email, filling packages, walking up to the post office. A huge part of this project is about personally connecting with people. You must have had or been in the situation in the past where have people promised you the idea of a street team or have offers like that?
It's never got to street team level.
It's because you're not a pop punk band.
I remember seeing a lot of street teams on people's MySpace pages.
Yeah. Schools tour.
Yeah, I never got to street team or schools tour. But I mean, I've had management at times, yeah. And I've had more people involved. But yeah, it's just me at the moment. I'm open to expanding the enterprise again.
Cool. Before we maybe hear another tune, can I ask, as someone who's, on in their career, I sometimes end up talking to people who are pretty fresh on the show, how do you define success?
Every step I've had, there's very few moments I've had, that I might have perceived as successful in the past. And when they come around, there's very few of them that you really get to celebrate. I think I probably was able to celebrate winning the Silver Scroll. Like, that was actually the level of exhilaration that was shocking, rather than just like, yeah, I deserve this. Yeah, of course. I think it's just actually, I think success for me now is like being able to balance my ambition with actually a realistic idea of happiness. Because I think a kind of post-adolescent ambition is pretty, testosterone fueled and megalomaniacal to some degree. And it's not really realistic. And obviously it fuels, a lot of people's great careers at that young moment when they're full of that energy. I don't have that energy anymore for a variety of reasons. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I've definitely, there's been... It's nice to have these moments of success when I'm actually able to celebrate it. I mean, to be honest, even just like the first launching that Kickstarter and the first day going really well, and like that felt like a little moment that I could actually have a couple of wines at the end of the day and go, okay, that was that's a success. I don't know. It's just about, it's hard to enjoy. It's hard to be able to take yourself out of yourself at moments of little triumphs and actually go, yeah, this is great. But I have not answered your question at all anyway.
There's definitely an answer near
the topic.
We're gonna hear a brand new one, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm gonna do the song that's I've just emailed out yesterday. It was mastered on Monday morning. I emailed out yesterday, painstakingly emailed to 180 people. I've never played it live before, so I hope it works. It's called Solitary Guys.
You marriage disappeared, we were overjoyed. You'd not been letting us boys be boys, and we just wanted to play. But slowly it turned that there was now nothing for us. Might as well lie in front of a bus, hopeless in every way. 'Cause you were all we had to live for, was never meant to be. 'Cause we
fantastic. Lawrence Olivier live in the 95 BFM studio. Yes, head to Kickstarter, kickstarter.com/projects/ Lawrence Olivier. Join up to the Singles Club. So it's the end of every month?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Give or take. Yeah.
Yes. You know, get a bit of leeway every now and then.
Yes. But one's out now, so there's that song I just sent it out yesterday, so I'm sort of aiming roughly about this time every month, but you know.
How's the feedback? Did anyone get back in touch?
Yeah, people seem to like it. I mean, it's quite weird, like, you know, not sending it out to, I haven't sent it out to radio stations, haven't serviced it to anyone, you know. It's just like, as soon as it's done, it's going out to the people that have paid for it, essentially. So
don't miss out.
Yeah, so I'm relying on people's personal feedback rather than, like, it, you know, whatever happens, but, you know.
Well, A plus, would listen again.
Great, thank you.
James, thank you so much.
That was Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music.